Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon. This week, we'll look into the brain to find the source of dread, and we'll answer a listener's question about the connection between beer and vaccines. But first, reporter Chelsea Wald has this story about a cutting-edge use of the he-man of hormones, testosterone.
Testosterone not only gives men hairy chests, deep voices, and an insatiable appetite for ESPN, it may also protect them from multiple sclerosis. Men get the autoimmune disease less than women, and when they do, it's often after their testosterone levels have dropped with age. So a team from UCLA had 10 men with MS rub a testosterone gel on their skin every day for a year. They then tested their brain processing speed and memory. Neurologist Nancy Sicott says the result was an improvement on all counts.
And in general, people with MS, we would have expected to see a decline in those abilities because that's typically what happens. So it suggests that not only could they not get worse, but they might actually have some improvements.
If they can confirm this effect in larger studies, this treatment could be the first to protect MS patients from brain damage.
Thanks, Chelsea. In other hormone research, living astroturf could be around the corner, thanks to the decoding of plant hormone signaling by researchers at the Salk Institute for Biological Studies in San Diego. They report in the journal Nature that they figured out how plant hormones regulate plant height, aging, and other key functions. The result could be grass that grows to a specified height and then stops. And in related plant news, Swedish scientists report in the journal Science on the discovery of a gene that regulates growth and flowering in a major family of trees. By manipulating the gene, they were able to induce a poplar tree to flower at only a few weeks of age. Normally, the trees don't flower for about a decade. The research could allow the creation of trees that flower and produce fruit much earlier. It could also let plant breeders raise and crossbreed many generations of plants in the time they would normally produce just one. Next up, from honeybees to silkworms, nature is full of creatures that make useful things for people. Reporter Justin Warner tells us about the latest product from bacteria.
That's right. If you're looking for the toughest glue around, forget Home Depot and check your tap water. You might find a common pollutant called Colobacter crescentis. In nature, these water-loving bacteria produce a super sticky adhesive to cling to rocks and rushing currents. Brown University physicist Jay Tung and his colleagues recently tested the goop's strength and found that it was 2 to 3 times stronger than commercial superglue.
And then one way to imagine, if you use this glue to glue your palm into, you know, the ceiling or something, if you imagine, you know, pictures with Spider-Man, you know, holding his palm on the ceiling, and that area and the weight it could hold is approximately 60 tons, metric tons. So that's equivalent to the weight of 12 elephants.
Besides revolutionizing the art of pachyderm suspension, a glue that strong could be used in devices like surgical implants, which you don't really want to fall apart. The next step is figuring out how to mass produce it in commercially viable quantities.
Thanks, Justin. For some people, dread may be worse than physical pain. Emory University psychiatrist Gregory Burns and his colleagues discovered this while studying brain scans of people dreading mild electric shocks. In their experiment, areas of the brain involved in paying attention to pain lit up not only during the shock itself, but also while subjects were waiting for the next one. People who experienced this activation earlier and more strongly would actually accept a more painful shock just to get it over with more quickly.
It's that response, I think, that's driving people's behavior to, in this case, I think, act somewhat irrationally by taking a larger shock to avoid waiting.
They say dread may play a bigger role than once thought in how people make all sorts of decisions that involve reward, punishment, and risk, from investing in the stock market to seeking medical treatment. Well, perhaps it was while dreading her annual flu vaccine that a Science Update listener came up with this question about the connection between alcohol and vaccines. Here's Chelsea Wald again with the answer.
A very perceptive listener named Lucy Levesque from Augusta, Maine, heard that vaccines are made in fermenters. But she says fermenters are normally used to make beer. So what's the connection? We turn to microbiologist Agnes Day of Howard University College of Medicine.
The principle of using a fermenter is the same for beer as it is for vaccine production.
She tells us that a fermenter is simply a device that grows microorganisms on a large scale. In beer, those microorganisms are the yeast that converts sugars into alcohol. But in vaccine production, they are disabled versions of the disease-causing bacteria or viruses that will ultimately form the basis of the vaccines.
And remember, if you have a science question, you can call us at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT or email us from our website at www.scienceupdate.com. If we use it on the podcast, you'll win a Science Update mug.
This podcast was supported in part by the Delta Science and Everyday Experiences Initiative. Parents and caregivers can get tips on informal science education for kids at www.deltasee.org.
Next week, we'll actually hear some of the names that dolphins give each other in their own language and learn about some birds that go to great lengths to hide their stuff. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.